This is HPR episode 2163 entitled GNU Orc, Part 4, and is part of the series Learning Orc. It is hosted by Dave Morris and is about 31 minutes long. The summary is recapping the last episode and looking at variables in an Orc program.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by anhonesthost.com. Get 15% discount on all shared hosting with the offer code HPR15. That's HPR15. Better web hosting that's honest and fair at anhonesthost.com.
Hi everyone, this is Dave Morris, and this is episode 4 in the GNU Orc series. And Beezy and I are progressing with this, and we've now, well, this is episode 4 as I say, so it means we now have a series which we've called Learning Orc. So they're all joined together so you can find them easier and that sort of thing. Okay, so what I'm going to start with this time is a recap of the previous episode, and then I'm going to go into a bit more detail about variables in Orc. So in the last episode, you saw logical operators. They're also called Boolean operators, if that means anything to you. Boolean algebra and that type of thing. Boolean algebra has not and an OR operators. Well, in Orc, the double ampersand means and, double vertical bar or pipe symbol means OR. One that wasn't covered was the NOT operator, which is an exclamation mark. So we can generate some quite complex Boolean expressions with this, but I'll leave that. I'm not sure who's going to do this, but we'll leave it till later because we want to deal with this in the context of other Orc statements in an Orc program, Orc script. So we'll expand on this a bit later on. You also saw last episode the next statement, and this we discovered is a way of stopping processing on the current input record. So it really does abort everything. No more patterns are tested against it. The pattern that's currently executing the current rule are finished with, stopped at that point. It's a statement in a similar way to things like print. And so you can't use it anywhere else other than in the action part of a rule. And you can't use it in begin or end rules either. And I'm going to talk about that in a minute. So begin and end are actually patterns. They're in capitals, capital B-E-G-I-N and E-N-D. They're patterns which are special, and they have to work with an action. You can't have either of them without an action, the actions being in curly brackets, as you know. And the whole shebang, begin an action, end an action, make up a rule in the same way as we've seen with the pattern action sequences. So the begin stuff is run before the main pattern action rules are processed, that is, the input file or files are read. End rules are run after everything's been read and processed. And you can have more than one begin and more than one end. It doesn't actually matter which order they occur in terms of the begins versus the ends. But if you have multiple begins, then they are executed in the order that they are encountered. Similarly with end. So in the last episode, we also started to look at variables. It's difficult when describing this sort of issue. This is effectively a language we're talking about here, Orc. And you can't really start at the beginning and work through to the end, because there isn't really a beginning, you know, because it's quite difficult to find a linear path through it. So we're sort of going ahead into areas that haven't really been explained yet, just to demonstrate certain functions and processes and so on. So there was a bunch of things that were commented on and that were shown last episode, variables, arrays and loops and that sort of thing. So we're going to look at all of these in a bit more detail in this episode. So I'm trying to consolidate them all. Okay, that was a quick recap of where we were from last episode. And I now want to start talking about variables in relation to awk. Now, you've already seen things like NR, capital NR, capital NF, which is number, the record number and the field number in the early part of the series. And in the last episode, you saw that you can create your own variables too. So what's a variable? Well, as you find in most other programming languages, it's a named storage area that can hold a value, and it has certain rules about how you construct the name. It consists of letters, digits, and the underscore in the case of awk, and it mustn't start with a digit. The case of the letters is significant, so lowercase sum and capital S, lowercase um, and capital S, capital U, capital M are three variables that you would speak them the same, but they're different. The other name for these types of variables, they can just hold a single value, they're called scalars. See that? You might see that name. I'm mentioning these because you might see them if you look in the manual. So a variable in awk can contain a numeric value or a string value. Awk deals with the conversion of one of these to the other as appropriate. Sometimes it might mistake, if you like to put it that way, what it was you intended, and it might need some assistance, but we'll refer to these later. Now, one of the things you learn as somebody learning programming, or did so back in the day when I was learning this sort of stuff, is when you create a variable in a language, you need to initialize it, because there's no definition of what it contains before you use it. But in awk, that's not so. All variables begin as an empty string, and an empty string is the equivalent of zero if you need to use it as a number. So how do you set variables to values? Well, you do it as you do in most languages. You use an assignment. So I've given an example here, count equals 3. That's an assignment. Count is the name of the variable. The equals is the assignment operator. 3 is the value you're going to put into it. In last episode, you saw an assignment like used, USED, plus equals $3. What this actually means is increment the contents of variable used, the variable with the name used, by the contents of field 3. So used is the variable, plus equals is this special type of assignment, and $3, as you already know, means field 3. There is an assumption here that $3 contains a numeric value, but we'll come on to what would happen if it didn't a bit later on. It's a shorthand version of used equals used plus $2. So what that means is add the contents of used to the contents of field 3 and then save the result back in the variable used. So the first time the variable is incremented, its contents are taken to be zero. And as I've said, it used to be that if you were writing in C or Fortran or Pascal or one of those sorts of older languages, compiled languages, you could not get away with it. But in awk and many other scripting languages these days, it's not a problem. So we've started down the road of looking at arithmetic operators. So thought we would stop and look at the whole list. It's a pretty short list, but I'll just go through them briefly. There's a table in the long notes here, which you can refer to if you need to. But if you've had any experience of programming, most of these will be very, very obvious to you. One thing to note before we proceed is that all numbers in awk are floating point numbers. That is, they have a decimal point in them. This can catch you out in some edge cases, because comparing floating point numbers for equality doesn't always give you the result that you would expect, for one thing. But we'll highlight these as we go along. What I've done here is to put together a list based on what's in the GNU Orc user's guide. And as before, there's a reference to it if you want to go and examine it yourself. I've listed in, them as they do in the order of their precedence from highest to lowest. So the first one is the circumflex character, which is exponentiation. So x circumflex y means x raised to the power of y. So something like 2 circumflex 3, that's 2 to the power of 3, which has the value 8. In Orc, there is a double asterisk operator, which is does the same job, but it's not the standard version. GNU Orc and it is slightly different from standard Orc. So we're trying to stick to pretty much the mainstream stuff as much as possible, because otherwise you might get caught out if you try and run your Orc script on a different machine, a different system, a BSD system or something like that, perhaps a Mac or something. So we're not going to use the double asterisk operator. So a minus sign in front of a variable or a number obviously negates it. Plus sign in front of one is unary plus, and that's actually a way in which you can tell Orc to treat a variable as a number. When I was typing this out, I was trying to think of cases where you'd want to do that, and I couldn't come up with any, but hopefully some will occur to me as we go along. The asterisk is multiplication, the forward slash is division. And there's a note here, which is that because all numbers in Orc are floating point, the result is not rounded to an integer. So 3 divided by 4, which would be written as 3/4, has the value 0.75. Whereas if you did the same thing in Bash, for example, which is purely integer, you typed something like echo $(?) 3/4, (?), you'd get the answer 0, because it's rounded it to an integer, to a whole number. The percent symbol is the remainder after division. So x percent y is the remainder after x has been divided by y. So 3% 4 is 3. So it can't be divided by 4, and the remainder is 3. 5% 2 is 1, because 2 goes into 5 twice, leaving 1 remainder. The plus sign is also addition, so x plus y is the obvious meaning, and the hyphen, the minus sign is subtraction, x minus y. So pretty obvious. So if you've already seen the plus equals operator, this is an assignment operator. These are shorthand forms of more verbose assignments, which is we've already looked at in one particular case. So I put together a table, which is a modification of the GNU Orc User's Guide table, showing all of these operators. So you might do plus equals, minus equals, asterisk equals, slash equals, percent equals, and circumflex equal. And I think you probably get what that means in all of the cases. Let's just look at the last one, circumflex equals. So if you wrote variable circumflex equals power, so you might type x circumflex equals 2, what that means is raise x to the power of 2. So x becomes x squared. I wrote a little script just to demonstrate these things, and it's available if you want it, and it's called arithmeticassignmentoperators.org. And I've listed its contents, and it's simply a bunch of expressions, statements, which use these various operators and print out the result. Yeah, the whole thing's in a begin rule, because we don't want the script to actually do any file processing. It's just doing a little demonstration of its internal computation capabilities. As I've written it, say, for example, the first line after the begin, it is x equals 42, semicolon, print, quotes, x is, close quotes, comma, x. So there's two statements there. One is the assignment statement, which sets x to 42. The second one is a print, which prints out x is, the string x is, followed by the contents of x. So there's a semicolon between them. If you write two statements on a line, then you need semicolons between them. They could have been written on two successive lines, but I just thought it looked neater doing it this way. So you need semicolon statement separators if there are multiple statements on a line, but you don't need them if there's only one statement per line. So there's no semicolon on the end. If you're used to other languages where this is necessary, then Orc doesn't make it so. It doesn't matter if you put a semicolon on the end of the line as well, if you want to. There's something to be said for doing that, I guess, but you don't need to, okay? So I've got an example here of what happens when you run this, and I'll not read you that because it's pretty obvious. So let's talk about type conversion. So a variable can contain a numeric value or a string at any point in time, as we've seen. When converting from a number to a string, then what you get is a string containing the number. It's a little bit more to it than that, but we'll leave that for another time. Converting from a string to a number, on the other hand, well, there needs to be something that can be interpreted as a number within the string. In other words, it needs to begin with a digit sequence. So my little example here uses the string 9gag.com, and if you set it into a variable called s, and then I set x equals to s plus 1 and print x. So the answer is 10. Because Orc pulled the 9 off the front of this address, IP address, and simply added 1 to it. So the 9 off the front was converted to a number, and then 1 was added to it. If there's no valid number in a string when you come to do this type of conversion, then Orc will treat it as zero. So Orc will handle strings containing all sorts of numbers. So it'll handle integer numbers like the number 42, floating point numbers like 4.2, and also exponential numbers. And the notation for this, which is common in many languages, 1e3, I've used a capital E in this case, but it could also be a lowercase. 1e3 means 1 times 10 to the 3, so it's 1,000. So I've got a little example of these three strings being fed to a printf statement and printed out. And the printf uses the G format control letter, which we haven't really looked at. We're going to spend some time on these control letters a bit later on. But the G one is for printing general numbers. So it prints 42 as 42, 4.2 as 4.2, and 1e3 comes out as 1,000. Also in the last episode, Beezy used some operators which consisted of two operators together, plus plus I think he used. And these are called increment and decrement operators, and they increment or decrement the value of a variable by one. And if you've been following my series on bash and parameter expansion or various expansions, I covered arithmetic expansion where I talked about these in the bash context. You can look at episode 1951 if you've forgotten or if you're interested. So again, I've produced a list of the various variables, the various operators, I should say. So, for example, plus plus variable name means increment the variable, returning the new value as the value of the expression. So, plus plus variable is different from variable plus plus because the first one, plus plus variable, means add one to it and then return the result. Variable plus plus, it's called a post increment in this case, returns the contents of the variable before it's had one added to it, then adds one to it. Okay, so there's a similar pair, minus minus variable, which decrements it and then returns that value, and variable minus minus, which returns the value and then subtracts one from it. There's some examples of how this might be used a little bit later on in the notes. So that's scalar variables. But there's also a whole bunch of other capabilities in the shape of arrays within Orc. Orc provides one-dimensional arrays. Now, there's a little note here to the effect that Orc does actually allow you to have multi-dimensional arrays. Traditional Orc offers this by a sort of a hacky solution. GNU Orc provides true arrays of arrays, but I'm not sure that we're going to cover that in this particular series because it's pretty much on the edge. If I were wanting to do this personally, I would not be using Orc to do it. But You may think otherwise, of course, but I think it might be best if we just simply point you at the manual to go further with this. But I thought it was worth just pointing out that there's quite a lot in GNU Orc. The thing about arrays in Orc is that they are so-called associative arrays, which are also known as hashes. So let's talk about what an array is. It has a name, and its name has got to conform to the rules we talked about for scalars. You can't have an array called the same thing as a scalar variable. An array can store multiple values, and to get at them, you use an index. Since this is a scripting language, and it's different from compiled languages, the arrays can be any length and can be expanded and contracted at will. So given an array, let's call it A, we might store a value in it. So we type A, open square bracket, 1, close square bracket, equals, and then a string. I've put HPR in double quotes. Double quotes is the way you define a string in Orc, by the way. So the array name is A, the index is 1, and the contents of A square brackets 1 is the string HPR. So if you're used to using arrays in other languages, you might assume that the index is numeric, but it's not. It's a string. All array indices are strings because Orc arrays are these types of things. They're associative. You use a string as the index into it. So it's an associative array or a hash. They're indexed by arbitrary string values, and they make up a sort of a lookup table. It's actually quite a powerful capability. So in one of the examples in the last episode, we saw, this is just an extract from an example, nr not equal to 1. That was a pattern, open curly bracket, A square bracket, $2, close square bracket, +++, close curly brace. So we saw that, and here the Orc script was being used to produce a frequency count of colours, and we were looking through the file1.txt, which you already have a copy of, I would imagine. Field 2 in this file is the name of a colour. So what we're doing here is we're using the colour name as an index, and we're simply incrementing that array element. So I've tried to explain it in text, and here is what I've typed. It means index the array A by the string contents of field 2. If the element doesn't exist, create it. So that this thing can be used even before there is an array A or an array A with that particular element in it. Since Orc's very relaxed about initialization, this array element will be taken to be 0 when it's created, and then the +++ on the end will increment it to 1. If the element already exists, then its previous value will be incremented. So if you ran this particular bit of code, it was in the last episode, it just went through all of the rows in the file1.txt file, then if you could look at the insides of that, the array, when it had finished, you'd find an index with the string brown, and the contents would be 2, meaning that there were 2 instances of the colour brown. So that means there's an element, A, open square brackets, open double quotes, brown, close double quotes, close square bracket, and in that array element there's a number 2. I also noted that A square brackets $2 +++ is the same as A square bracket $2 close square bracket += 1. Both mean the same thing. Imagine you're already there ahead of me. We also saw last time the concept of looping through an array to print it out. And we had, I'll just read this out quickly without going into a lot of details, for B in A, print B, A brackets B. So this was a case of sort of rushing ahead into areas that we hadn't really explained yet, but it was necessary to get some of the precursor concepts sorted out. So we haven't looked at looping and other such statements in Orc yet, but we need to look at this one now so we can understand how you would process an entire array. So briefly, the for statement provides a way to repeat a given set of statements a number of times. We'll have a look at at this and other related things like while and do and so forth later on. This particular variant of the for statement allows the processing of arrays, and it consists of the word for, followed by in parentheses variable name, followed by the word in, followed by the name of an array. So it's saying for every element of this array. And then the for statement is followed by one or more statements which are being controlled by it. So the expression variable in array results in all of the index values in the nominated array being provided one at a time. And while the loop runs, the variable is set to the successive index values and the body part, the dependent statements are executed. Now the body part can be a single statement or a group. If a group is used, then you have to put curly braces around them. But if there's only one statement, you don't need any curly braces. Now, one thing about the way OR works is that the order in which the array index values are provided is not defined. So they sort of come out in a sort of random order. It's not really random, but it's an arbitrary, undefined order. Different ORC versions will use different orders in the way it processes this. Now, GNU ORC can have extensions which allow the ordering of this, the index values, to be controlled, but we'll deal with this later. So let's just look at the example from the last episode. And I've made some modifications to it, changed names and that type of thing, laid it out slightly differently just to demonstrate the concept a little bit more clearly. And this particular example is in a file which you can download from the HPR website, and it's called color_count.org. I've used the American spelling because be easy. What had used it throughout his example, and it's basically his example I've stolen and hacked around. So the array has been renamed from A to count because it holds counts or frequencies of the number of times a colour is encountered. The array is indexed by the names of the colours in field 2, and when we loop through the array in the end rule, we use the variable colour to store the latest index. And I took out semicolons and curly braces that were not really necessary, just to really demonstrate that they could be removed without any problem. So I'll not read this one out because you've seen the gist of it last time, so you might want to check this one out just to see how different it is in terms of its layout and use of variable names and so on. So when it runs, it does the same as the previous version does. It prints out a list of it actually runs against the file called file1.csv, and it prints out a CSV list, comma section separated variable list, that should be consisting of the header line color, comma count, then brown, comma 2, purple, comma 2, etc. So it's just the counts of the number of occurrences of those colors. So to finish, then, I want to just mention the built-in variables that we've seen so far, and we saw another one added to the list in the last episode. So this one is called FS, capital F, capital S, and it stands for field separator, and it's the internal variable within the ORC script that matches the minus capital F option that you give to the command. So for example, minus capital F and then in double quotes a comma on the command line is the same as assigning FS equals double quotes, comma, close double quote, inside the script. The statement FS equals etc. needs to be in a begin rule in order that it can be set early enough in the script. You can't put it in a pattern action style rule because that happens too late. You've already grabbed the first record by then, most likely, or a record at least, and that was separated out based on whatever the default separator is, which is a space. So I've just put a little example here where ORC hyphen F double quotes comma quote begin curly bracket print quotes FS is close quotes comma FS close curly bracket close quote, and you get the answer FS is comma. So you can see that. It's just to demonstrate the point, really. We also saw OFS, the variable, which is all in capitals, OFS, which is the output field separator. And it controls the format of the output record produced when you use the print statement. And normally it's set to a space. So I'll give an example here where awk is run and there's a begin rule within it, and it simply consists of print followed by, in double quotes, hello, comma, and then in double quotes, world. So there's two arguments to the print command separated by a comma. And the answer produced is hello space world, because the comma, whenever you put a comma in one of these things, it tells the print statement to output the OFS variable contents, which is a space by default. So if you were to do my second example, which is pretty much the same, except that instead of there being a comma between hello and world, two separate strings, there's nothing. Then you get hello world with no space in between them. And that's because awk has seen these two strings as the arguments to print, and it's concatenate them together and given print one argument, which consists of the string hello followed by world, no spaces. OFS variable can be set to a string if you want to. So I did a rather silly example where I set in a begin rule OFS equals double quotes space blurg close space double quotes semicolon print hello comma world as before, and then you get out, instead of a space between hello world, you get the word blurg. Just proves the point. Can be useful sometimes. Now the OFS variable only affects the behavior of print, not printf. So there's an example here showing OFS being set to a tab character. Then we print out using printf hello world, and it comes out without a tab in it, has no effect. So it's worth just reiterating that printf is always followed by at least one argument. And that first argument has got to be the control or the format string, which specifies how, what it's to print out and how it's to be formatted. Then it can be followed by any number of further arguments separated by commas. So this one has got, the first argument is this string that's got %s space, %s backslash n, in order to get a new line at the end of it, and then comma, then the string hello, comma, and then the string world. So the three arguments in total.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HBR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club, and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.